Okay,
Great.
so
Thank you.
just a warning to everybody that we are actually recording. Okay, can I ask somebody to make a list of participants? I'm not sure that Zoom can actually do this automatically, but we'll try in a moment. So, agenda proposed at the moment is we've got a very packed agenda, and we have to stick very closely to this. So, I've got only a minute. Basically, I will, provide very, very quickly where we are with the reference model. Then we've got three very interesting 15 minutes length topics about the potential collaboration with Odin from John, and this is related to infrastructure management. It's been a topic for a long time, on and off, in reference model. And then Thomas is going to talk a little bit about what's happening in O-RAN, particularly in WG6, and how we can actually possibly align and collaborate with O-RAN. And then Petter is going to talk about AF/XDP. And we obviously want to close with some questions and answers. Is there any comments about the agenda? Can we actually go with this agenda? Okay, nobody objects. So, very quickly, where we are. And so, reference model, it's more than 200 pages if you publish this, 250 at the moment. It's a big document. And the Moselle has been, we've got the current version is obviously Nile version, but the previous version, Moselle, has been actually published in GSMA and the collaboration between Linux Foundation and GSMA as the NG126. And current work, which is the Orinoco, that's what we are planning and working on at the moment, will be published as version 4 of NG126 in GSMA by the end of 2023. We have to find out the exact date. Major topics, and we mentioned some of them, are collaborations, other projects and organizations, because we want to ensure that the reference model enhance, the following reference architecture stay in line with what's happening in the industry and the technology. The particular things which are very much of interest for operators is hybrid multi-cloud edge deployments. That's a very hot topic. And and adoption of the latest hardware technologies. I think I just stopped at the moment, and we can actually move to the next topic and the questions about the general reference model status. Or if not, then John, do you want me to give you the rights
Yeah,
to
no, this is
share,
good, Walter. Thank you.
or is
No,
it
this
okay
is
to show it here?
no, this is fine. Thank you. Hello, everybody. My name's John Meckling. I work for HPE, but I'm part of the ODIM, or the Open Distributed Infrastructure Management LFN project. As Walter mentioned, we've been talking between ODIM and Anikit for a little while about ways we might be able to collaborate. I want to talk in a subsequent slide about our very initial thoughts about some of the things we might collaborate on. But this slide is more or less an overview or a refresher for folks who may not be familiar with ODIM about what ODIM is. The text in the upper right-hand square is taken right out of the Anikit reference model chapter 3. And it talks about hardware infrastructure management, which is what ODIM is all about. ODIM really works down at the hardware layer, at the servers, the switches, the storage arrays. And the reference model chapter 3 talks about the main functions that the infrastructure manager has to enable: provisioning, managing, monitoring, basically the provisioning and configuration of hardware resources, the servers, the switches, the storage. So there's the configuration part. There is the, for want of a better term, sort of the inventory part, resource discovery, making sure you understand what the topology is of the hardware, the infrastructure that the software runs on. And then the ongoing management, the monitoring, the telemetry, collecting events, things like that. Those are the three main things that the hardware manager has to enable. The challenge that we're seeing in real-world deployments is that these things are not terribly difficult to do on a device-by-device basis, but when you get into large-scale deployments and when you get into deployments involving multiple vendors' equipment, these become much more difficult. Multiple vendors means multiple management interfaces, different versions of proprietary interfaces, different implementations of standard interfaces like Redfish. And the challenge becomes when you start looking at large deployments, being able to manage those in a reasonable way becomes very difficult, and it ends up slowing down the rate at which these systems get deployed and new services get rolled out. So what ODM does in the lower right-hand box, basically it was designed to address these challenges of large-scale multi-vendor infrastructure deployments. And in order to simplify the process of managing those multi-vendor deployments, it does a number of things. Northbound to the management applications, it provides a pure Redfish API so that the northbound management applications don't have to worry about the peculiarities of the management interfaces of the servers from different vendors, of the Ethernet fabric from different vendors, of the storage devices from different vendors. It all becomes Redfish to the northbound management applications. Now, that happens by way of the plugin layer. And basically, there are plugins that adapt those southbound devices management APIs into the Redfish data model. This is where ODM enables the support of multiple vendors and the different vendor APIs through that plugin layer. The part in the middle, the resource, what we call the resource aggregator, basically is where that Redfish data model that describes all of the devices that are being managed, where that data model is maintained. It interacts with the management applications northbound, and it interacts with the managed devices southbound, and maintains a Redfish data model of the inventory and the capabilities and the state of the inventory of the devices being managed. One of the real advantages of ODM is its ability to allow management of aggregates of devices so that the management applications can issue a single instruction to make a change on multiple devices defined at the aggregate level, and that aggregation is defined and maintained within the resource aggregator. So it basically allows a multi-vendor. It allows scaling because you get the ability to manage at the aggregate level. It's sort of a derivative of Intel's rack scale approach in years past. And because ODM can be deployed remotely from those central management systems, it can act a bit as a proxy for the devices being managed, and allows the management applications to support a much larger deployment of systems in the field. Now, the ODM code is real. It's actively developed. The ODM project is about to release its sixth release of the resource aggregator and the open source plugins. We're on a 6-month cadence, and we have a roadmap of ongoing enhancements going forward. One of the things we'd like to do in our interactions with the Anikit project is to better define what those enhancements ought to be to better meet the needs of the Anikit project and the industry as a whole. So the next slide talks about some of the potential areas of collaboration. Move to the next slide, Walter, if you can.
Yep, I think that I have to.
Great, thank you. These are just very initial, very preliminary, sort of throwing things on the wall to see what sticks. But we wanted to take a look at the coordination between physical infrastructure management with the software infrastructure management. In our conversations with software vendors, we found that different software layers require different hardware configurations. And to work well. And ultimately the goal of ODM is to streamline or enable the automation of the deployment of the systems that are needed to run the software that is needed to provide the services that the telcos want to provide. So one of the areas that we thought might be useful to explore is to define those hardware configurations that are appropriate for particular configurations of the software that the Anika project is focused on. For example, some software doesn't even use RAID arrays, but other software does. And so what we'd want to be able to understand is which are those settings that happen at the hardware level that are most appropriate for or most advantageous for particular high priority Anika software configurations. And part of that also is what are the management tools that the industry is moving toward, and how would we bring those into a Redfish environment? So, for example, we're, as part of the ODM project, looking very seriously into Kubernetes operators for server and switch configurations. So we're exploring that. ODM today supports Kubernetes operators, and the open source project is looking at implementing a Kubernetes operator for server configurations. We also want to bring not just servers, but switches and storage in under the umbrella. Right now, Redfish doesn't have a complete definition of switch configurations. So we're looking at what are some of the tools that might be used to bring some of those capabilities and requirements in under the Redfish umbrella. So for example, a Redfish to Yang translator for configuring switches. But these are the ideas of how do we coordinate the physical infrastructure management to best meet the needs of the software infrastructure and the CNFs and the VNFs that run on top of that hardware. Another thing we thought we'd want to be able to explore with Anika is Redfish itself. The Redfish itself is evolving, and the DMTF Redfish form is very open to new ideas. It would be good for, I think, Anika and ODM to come together with proposals for new Redfish properties that DMTF could put into the Redfish standard, or if there are gaps in ODM support for current Redfish properties, identify those gaps and prioritize those as part of ODM's roadmap. We might be able to, as a thought, contribute together to the OCP profile to sort of influence vendors' implementations. One of the things that we've seen is that different vendors support different properties within the Redfish standard itself. So that for a vendor to say we're Redfish compliant, that's probably true, but one vendor's compliance is different from another vendor's compliance, which makes management at the next level up more complicated. So if we could work together on a profile that would be adopted more broadly across the vendor community and help to influence that, I think that would be I think good for the industry. And then again, providing feedback to the DMTF Redfish form. They're very open to constructive suggestions, and working together, we might be able to come up with some new and good ones. And then the final area where I was thinking would be a good area to cooperate is sort of the nuts and bolts implementation and test. Going beyond the paper studies of what things ought to be, actually bring ODM into not just the reference model, but into the reference implementation, into some of the Anika deployment projects, and into the community labs, so that there'd be some real-world experience with it and real-world feedback from use of it back into the project to help enhance the code going forward. And then finally, we'd be very open to have members of the Anika community make contributions, join the project, make contributions to the code base, and become active in the ODM community. So those were some of the things that we were thinking we could take advantage of this relationship between Anika and ODM.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks, John. Yeah, right on time. And well, it could be interesting as well to make sure that other people can actually contribute to Anika. So yeah, definitely we can actually work on this. Any questions from the audience to Joe? Does it sound like a good plan? I've got a question to you, to John. How about the at the moment, them sort of like taken the in the into the industry, right? And what collaboration from other vendors you're getting and things like this. And the other second part is, right, that I think that I would support, and that's what we have really discussed in TSC about AnnoCAD reference implementation or integration with Odin. What's really happening with Odin as far as the implementation in LFM?
Well, I'll take the second one first. As I mentioned earlier, it's real code. It's up on GitHub. In fact, HPE, where I work, is incorporating Odin into some of its as a service offerings going forward. We see real value of Odin as a component in our commercial offerings because it does offer that multi-vendor and scaling advantages. It's getting other vendors to participate. We've had good participation in the project from Intel, from AMI, from a number of smaller software vendors. We would love to see participation from vendors like other server vendors, the big names like Dell and Lenovo. There is an open source plugin for Dell servers. There's an open for the iDirect servers. There's an open source plugin for Lenovo servers. And those were built by the open source community based on real world requirements we're hearing from real world customers, that those are priority systems. There's also an open source plugin for Cisco ACI Fabric because Cisco is such a predominant vendor in the telco space. We'd love to see those vendors become actively engaged and take those open source plugins and enhance them further, because it would reflect well on their products and on them as vendors to participate in the project and bring their offerings in as a core part of Odin going forward.
Yep. Okay. Well, we can actually discuss whether we can actually help with this. Any comments or questions? All right. I think that it's a good plan, John. We can actually discuss this further in our meetings, right? So
Yeah, good.
I'll just put this. I will make sure that we put this in ARM reference model sort of material, and perhaps discuss parts of this in AnnoCAD technology steering committee, but particular things that are sort of outside of ARM itself, like reference implementation and participation of other vendors. All right, thanks a lot, John. Sorry, thanks, John. Thomas, are you ready? Or
Yes, I am. So,
do you want me to just drive those slides, or?
yes, please. Yes,
Okay,
please.
so let me know when I have to move them.
Absolutely. So, Thomas Fredberg from Ericsson. I have taken part in the AnnoCAD reference model development a few years back, not being so active lately because I've spent a lot of time in ORAN Work Group 6 that is about cloudification and orchestration of the clouds in ORAN. So here I try to depict sort of what is the AnnoCAD's multi-cloud environment versus the ORAN and versus the transport management. And in some shape and form, you can view it as that AnnoCAD and ORAN are both similar type of domain clouds or domain multi-clouds. They both specify their environment of how to handle multiple clouds. But ORAN does it by saying that here we have a service management and orchestration engine that can handle multiple OClouds. And OClouds means it's an ORAN specified API in between the OCloud and the SMO. But the service management and orchestration entity, it's one and only one. So the O clouds in here cannot serve multiple tenants in that sense. They only serve this single service management and orchestration engine. So an O cloud is not suitable to be included in some other multi-cloud environment as well as ORAN. But three different domains, they technically could be served by the same cloud infrastructure providers, as I've shown in picture, where I said provider one and provider two could be providing infrastructure as a service, generally on a bare metal level, at least for ORAN. But they could be served in this kind of a way. So this is how they could relate as well. Next slide.
Sorry.
So this is just to take one of the pictures out of the reference model, which shows the layering with the hardware infrastructure that we had a discussion about in ODIM here just lately. And then it's coming with a virtualization infrastructure, which is a software layer on top. And then you have the offering of containers and VMs up to the CNFs and VNFs. And then you will have a management and orchestration on the side. And if we take this picture and do an overlay of ORAN just to see the similarities and differences, then next slide.
By the way, if I may, this is the hardware infrastructure manager where you get some ODIM alignment we talked before with ODIM, right? That's a good picture, right? But let's just go back to ORAN, yeah?
Yep. So what you can see in here is then that the O clouds, they are distributed, which means that they span over geographical areas. They have a need for a transport network to connect them, but the clouds as such, they are distributed. You can have multiple O clouds for one service management and orchestration engine that we call an SMO, which is the top right-hand box in here. And that here we have a big difference that the ORAN SMO functionality is handling the infrastructure over an interface called O2IMS. And that is creating, it's taking the resources that exist down in the hardware layer and creating virtual machines that could be seen as resources as well. And they're creating the Kubernetes clusters where needed. And they are offering those as part of a managed cloud. But it is all managed through the OCloud infrastructure management in there. So they specify a little bit more than what Anaket specifies on the area of infrastructure management, but they do it in a rather proprietary way for ORA. And then we have another interface. Go ahead.
Hi, Thomas. So I have a few comments here, basically related to using etcnfv. And I feel it's kind of trying to match something that it is quite, I would say, we cannot really match it at this point in time, basically because right now the etcnfv, as you know, it's still being, I would say, or is still evolving to a cloud native principles related to scalability, related to using the containerization orchestration, all that stuff. So no need for that. I do agree you're removing here the VNF manager. It's okay. My point here is, shouldn't we map ORAN into Anuket RM, but without taking consideration etcnfv, to be honest, because it's like I said in the beginning, it's matching two different architectures, which basically in the beginning etcnfv was designed with something in mind, which I'll say totally disappear from the scope, but is not the one we are working on at this point in time.
In order to keep this short and a short answer, I think that the short answer is I have not tried to map ORAN into etcnfv. I tried to map ORAN onto the picture we're using in the RM. And that was sort of the backdrop to this one is the RM picture for Anuket, where we've shown the Etsy touch points of Anuket. And then I'm taking the ORAN and making an overlay to compare it with Anuket. I'm not comparing it with Etsy. I'm just showing that ORAN deals with the infrastructure as multiple different federated OClouds, and it has a workload placement interface that it calls an O2DMS as well in here. And ORAN, as a difference to Anuket, has an interface for something called RApps, which is basically radio management applications that could be entered there as well. Yeah. And then the service management.
The diagram with the Etsy mapping Zhao is from Anuket, right? From Anuket reference model. So it's not really part of this, what Thomas is trying to do to map to existing. We can discuss whether we can actually improve the diagrams in RM, but that's not really.
Exactly. That's the point. It's not, exactly as you describe, Walter, because basically what we need to change is what we have there. Not really mapping it into this situation, because I feel I know that we have missed several attempts to use Etsy NFV to evolve it to a cloud native architecture. Basically, I just top of my head the ONAP one, which basically they were trying to do it and it failed, or it is failing miserably. So my point here is really that we call the things what they really are. So, but that's clear, Walter. It's exactly what you said.
Yeah. All right, Thomas, Liz, please keep going. Yeah.
Yep.
The so next slide.
No, stay on this slide for five seconds, because I want to point out that we have in ORAN, we also have a few layer one radio hardware accelerators, and they are exposed into the cluster environment through an acceleration adaptation layer as well. Those are the yellow boxes that I denoted. I think that is highly specified within ORAN. That's not very specified in Anuket. On the RM level, there are talks about a number of different accelerators, but here they are actually well specified in how they come in, but they are also very, very radio specific. So this is just to show a little bit of the similarities and differences in these pictures. Next slide.
Sorry, can I still interrupt? How would you map these interfaces very nicely specified by ORAN into open source implementations?
I have no idea how to answer that. I mean, it's specified interfaces, and if somebody makes open source out of them, then of course.
No, I mean existing. So do you recognize any of them implemented?
No. I mean, this is generally a space of highly specific accelerators where there is a wish that there are multiple different vendors that should be capable to live up to them. It's not an environment where I expect much open source when it comes to the accelerators.
Okay, thank you.
A rare example is BBDev. But
BBDev, but there are also hardware implementations done by some of the major vendors in here as well.
Yes.
Yep. So the possible relationship that I can see that we potentially could explore is that ORAN is, to a large extent, a separate multi-cloud. It's a separate community by itself. You can't break it up. But I can't see that OClouds can be used in Anuket, but potentially, since it has a reasonably similar structure as Anuket, maybe Anuket could be an underlay cloud if it wants to, that could offer infrastructure as a service to be used by ORAN resources. But that is if Anuket would like to go down that path and create sort of the total structure. And if so, then the infrastructure as a service is generally to offer bare metal resources, for including then hardware accelerators, capabilities. It needs to have an internal layer 2 centric networking layer offered there as well, because RAN is often very layer 2 centric. And it needs to have OCloud interfaces included in there as well. But that is a big difference, that when you get into the game of ORAN, you say basically that if you are a cloud provider, you will provide the SMO functionality with an OCloud interface specified according to the ORAN principles. It's not extremely hard to get there, but that could be sort of an adaption from an IaaS layer in towards the SMO. Next slide. So Anuket could possibly support ORAN on an IaaS level. ORAN will need to have an OCloud realization that comes from an Anuket if that is to be offered. And ORAN does not have a good way of dealing with multiple users. So the inverse to have an OCloud offer services in towards Anuket, I don't see feasible at all in there. So I think that is an important distinction there. And then the very last slide in here, basically forming the questions that when I looked through the documentation in the ORAN for now, I could see a potential that what I have described here could be described in slightly more pictures and bring that into the 8.2 hybrid multi-cloud architecture as showing the relationship them in between, and then maybe an own chapter that describe pretty much what ORAN is. And that's just on a descriptive level before we start looking into, is there any alignments that we can make over time so that, for instance, ORAN potentially could use an undercloud that it might be provided by something that is Anuket compliant or something like that. If we need to go down that path, then I think that we need to go in and investigate if there are any values in looking into chapter 3 and 4 as well when it comes to alignment. We could also look into other areas of chapter 3 and 4 when it comes to, are there any of the acceleration principles and specifications that could be used from ORAN, maybe adapted into Anuket, but potentially used, reused from their structure, because they are working very, very diligently of getting that very, very clear in the raw resource handling and capability, capacity management, and so on and so forth. But sorry, the bottom line is... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, one question, what I couldn't really get, you said that, like, Anuket is possible to use Anuket compliant cloud as another cloud in ORAN. What I don't really get, why is it not possible to use Anuket compliant cloud as the OCloud? So what's so special in OCloud which prevents Anuket to be an OCloud?
I think you're asking how to make Anuket being an undercloud to OCloud, and that.
No, I'm asking how to make Anuket to be an OCloud.
Yeah, OCloud has a very, very highly specified interface that is on an OCloud, and that's something that Anuket then must be implementing to offer ORAN APIs.
So it's only the proprietary APIs defined by ORAN.
Yes. Okay. And okay. Is cool. That they also need to offer bare metal server provisioning that can have accelerators and can offer layer 2 connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be the things that are needed.
Clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, good. Thank you.
So Thomas.
So I think that we need to start with the alignment values. What would we like to achieve with these alignment before we go into what chapter to start updating? That was my last
question. I think that's a very good plan to have this discussion, right? But from perspective of the operator, like Telstra, right? We are definitely moving to edge, right? To cloud, distributed cloud, and O-RAN is discussed everywhere. Nobody really knows how to implement this in relation to traditional telco cloud, so to speak, as Joe mentioned, right? Which we've got in Allocate. So defining those interfaces or how we could actually realize those could be actually, I think, a lot of value. I don't know how we can actually implement this, but how to implement O-RAN into the body of network and cloud in operators, it seems to be a challenge at the moment, right? So I think that there is a point of discussion here.
I find this very good overview and summary at the last line there is obviously required. So maybe good is to write desired outcome and then what is the value for one or the other side or whoever needs to be involved to get there.
Yep.
Okay.
That sounds like a good discussion to be had of what is the desired outcome and then create such a chapter with everybody participating there, vendors and operators.
Okay, we've got the challenge, right? So what is desired outcome? I don't think we can resolve it here, but
no.
But that's we can actually start having a discussions in our meetings or, you know, in some perhaps we can put some sort of discussion forum to make sure that we can actually discuss this. Is anybody else from O-RAN, Thomas, who could, I think you could actually bring to the discussion from work group six or other groups? I don't know.
I don't think that there is too many people with a touch point to Anuket from the beginning. We had Sukhdev has been taking part in this before. He's also in here, he's from Juniper. But I think it would be rather interesting if there were more operators, and I don't see any direct operator that have touch points towards the Anuket or core oriented sites in here. They are very RAN centric, the people I meet over here. I'm basically the only cloud person.
Yeah, well, that's definitely, and I'm much involved in the RAN deployment we are doing somewhere in the South Pacific. It's a different language, but everybody is talking about making sure that we are O-RAN enabled, and nobody really knows what it is. This may be actually, you know, what we should actually discuss here. Okay, any other comments? So that was really very interesting. And okay, and definitely, I think we all agree that further discussion, like in the audience, it's a good topic to discuss how much we can do in RM or how much we can do outside. That's we can find out. Thanks, Thomas.
Thank you. And I will sign off now because I need to go into the next O-RAN meeting here. So I am actually at the face-to-face here in Prague now.
Okay. The next one is Peter from... so Peter, do you want me to try to get in here?
Or
do you want to drive this or do you want me to drive?
I think this is good for start. So Peter Torres speaking from Intel, and the idea here is to introduce AFXDP and related concepts into reference model. And then I did raise issue for Kubernetes architecture separately. And for me, mental flow is okay. Let's first get it introduced in the model, and then worry about how to map it into Kubernetes pods on the other side. And summary from previous discussions was, yes, it's timely to do that. And initial text in draft I wrote on the wiki, and in the review on 25th of January, there were a couple of comments, and I addressed first two of them, and we'll still talk with some people that really did this thing hands-on on how to properly word the answers to question number three over there. So, and the idea is that this text, after it gets stabilized here, and please, whoever has views and so on, please comment and or edit the text over there as you think it's appropriate, because then after that I will raise a pull request and we can discuss it also over there. So this is for reference model for chapter 3, somewhere near the end, to introduce section AFXDP that talks about what it is as a new socket type that is interface to XDP exposed from kernel. And it explains how this XDP redirect is used for incoming traffic and how it's not used for outgoing traffic. And one of the questions that was not addressed before was how to enable the application. So I wrote those two lines that talk about Linux native applications using the AFXDP socket and libbpf to register packet buffer, create the bind the socket, and then DPDK applications have a full mod driver, and VPP based applications, they have a appropriate device driver. And the other question was for virtualized environments where this is not ideally suited. Currently I wrote it as could be interface between a guest kernel and user space application, but still somehow traffic needs to get into the VM. So examples that were mentioned in other text is SRIOV and Virt.io. So that would be for the model. And then in chapter 5, if you scroll down a little bit, put those optimization capabilities and profile mapping as optional and as capability as obviously as yes, no. And then in the last chapter where normally gaps are listed, just wrote that the promise is high and still it needs to be invested and matured. So this is the current text, and I did not want to create slides because we are already at the stage of writing text. So any comments, guidance, feedback is welcome.
Okay, so we discussed many times in reference model, right? How to deal with different type of acceleration, right? So that's basically the same topic, right? At the moment, right?
No. This is not the same topic. So yeah. This is about having Linux native application instead of using what is very slow, because it was never optimized for this type of environments as a socket type AF INET. It would use this AFXDP, and with appropriate usage of zero copy driver would get through fast path directly, get hold of the virtualized NICs exposed. And this is not hardware accelerator.
Yeah, it's not hardware. No, that's what I mean. But this is performance optimization, right? On
this is optimization of the Linux network stack.
Yeah.
Because a long time ago, when the problem was seen, the teams went to, well, this is about 13 years ago, which is when DPDK development started. 10 years ago was open sourced. There was no resonance in improving the Linux native network stack. So the teams at the time and the whole industry pretty much went in a way of avoiding dealing with the problem and built everything based on DPDK. And now for some years, there are teams trying to deal with the problem, and this is summary of their progress in doing it.
Okay, so when we look at the chapter 5, right, the text here, so basically this is adding as a optional capabilities, right, to our profiles, right?
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes.
So how is it in at the moment? This is available or really? Or?
This is available in Linux kernel.
Yeah.
There are limitations in usage in terms of you need appropriate permissions. So this is one of the roadmap items for the teams to allow creating of those devices and assignment without being root. This is one of the topics being worked. And they have others. So I mean, this is in active development. And once this gets matured in the software infrastructure in parallel, of course, you have always the chicken and the egg problem is when are the application vendors start to take advantage of this type of interfaces. I mean, usual assumption is that they will do it when the platforms are mature and performant enough, when there is new software category to invest in, and actually when there is understanding of this whole concept and request for that and so on.
So does it have any impact, for example, on RA1, right, when with OpenStack, or this is really completely will not have any impact?
Okay, so ideally, I think the answer should be yes, there should be an impact, but I don't know if and who is investing in doing it for OpenStack. I know that we are doing it for Kubernetes. There is AFXDP device plugin, and this I plan to describe over there also on RA2.
So we've got that's probably not much we can add more than this text into as options, right, into RM. But I think that could be interesting to hear. So from RA2, for example, I don't know, Ricardo, can you hear us? It's probably
yes. Sorry, couldn't come up. Yes. So yes, we have discussed this as part of RA2. So this is something that we can explore for content workloads. Obviously, this is as part of the Kubernetes specific implementation, something that that can be included in the Kubernetes control plane design. I think probably we can also explore if this can be made generic, as it would be applicable to other kinds of cloud, such as OpenStack, obviously, as it's the Linux networking and a different way to implement Linux networking, specifically this one. So yes, it would be something that all kinds of cloud can benefit from.
Fantastic. So I think we should stay in touch. And there is some interesting comment from Sridhar. Sridhar, can you actually talk? you cannot actually unmute yourself.
Yeah. So I think in Anuket technical discussion, I think remember in December we discussed this eBPF and Anuket, the relevance and what are the areas we can consider. And RI2 was one of the areas thing, and even entity is one of the organization who is also looking to contribute to the RA or RI2 with respect to this specific thing, the use of eBPF based solutions in Anuket. So there are like multiple entities discussing around. I think we should consolidate and see, maybe put all together. I think this is a good initiative. Maybe we can invite people to contribute and add. And I put in the chat window, even in WinePerf, one of the benchmarking projects of Anuket, we have been like last 3 months exploring and trying different things. In fact, even trying that AFXTP device plugin and comparing with SRUV and other things. We are still like looking at what's really missing from the telco perspective when it comes to the performance numbers. Yeah, we might take maybe 3 more months to really come up with the proper solutions and answers to the when it comes to the benchmarking activity.
Excellent. So I think, Petra, we've got Ricardo and Sridhar and myself interested in this, right? So we can actually probably keep this topic. I think it's probably more into implementation and architecture than in RM, but that's something we definitely can do this. Ildiko, can you hear us?
Yes.
Yes. Is there? I don't know whether you were following. There was a question actually from me, right? Is an interest in OpenStack sort of in AFXTP? Performance optimization or on the Linux level, or have you heard anything that you guys are doing? Because I'm just thinking whether there is an impact on RA1 as well, or we don't have anybody, I think, from RA1 at the moment on the call.
I personally do not have enough information to be able to confirm or deny. I don't know. I need to look into it.
Yeah, all right, that could be it. So that's, it's probably generally the question about this eBPF extended Berkeley packet filter, right? Software program. I'm sure that there must be something happening, but it will be interesting. Any other questions or comments to Petra? That's very, very good. And I think, we probably can actually, unless there's any objections, I think that we're driving towards the fact that we can actually do some updates into the RM along those lines, and then keep discussing how to specify this in Kubernetes RA2 and perhaps in implementation, right?
I could based on this text do pull request, and then the last question about how does it work in a stack that also has a SRIOV DPDK, maybe leave it for some, I mean, outside of the model. I don't think that we need to specify that in the model.
So what exactly the question, how does it work?
If you scroll up,
yeah.
Question number 3 is, how could it work? So Linux native, like picture, like on this figure X, and how could this thing work in the same node that has the previous stack, which is DPDK SRIOV based? I mean, I can figure out how to do that if there is separate NICs, but I need to ask the teams if we don't start assigning physical devices separately, how much of that can be running on the common one. But I don't think this is for the model level that this is very relevant.
I don't think so, yeah. But we can actually keep discussing. So actually, have you been discussed with Ricardo, right? Is that correct, or there was a different
call? Well, we talked on the RA2 call, and I will prepare the text and I have appropriate diagram to use and all that. So I just wanted to do this thing first and then do the Kubernetes after.
Oh, then there will be a question whether RA2 would like to include this for Orinoco release.
For example.
But that's...
Oh, yeah, this thing is already somewhere on the list.
It's already there. Okay, well, excellent. All right, thanks a lot. We've got 1 minute, right? Anything else? Any other comment? Anybody else has some good idea about other topics? So we can obviously speak offline and in our meetings, but any final comments? I just wanted to thank John and Thomas and Peter. So that's three very interesting topics, and it looks like there is a common understanding that we have to follow them, and there are some parts of them will be actually in RM and parts of in other components of and projects of Anuket. All right, we have to close because the other meeting is about to start. So thanks a lot, everybody. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
See you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.